Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting into one of the most iconic jungle and old-school DNB moves out there, the rewind moment. But we're not doing it as a cheesy effect. We're doing it the proper way. In Ableton Live 12, with source material from the actual tune, smart routing, resampling, and a reload that hits like it means business. Think of this as an Amen Science approach. Not just reverse sound go BRRR, more like the track briefly remembers itself, spins back for a second, and then slams forward even harder. That's the energy we want. Now, before we touch any devices, let's talk placement. In DNB, rewind moments need phrase logic. They work best at the end of 8 bars, 16 bars, or 32 bars. Basically, where the listener already feels a change coming. That could be the last bar before a second drop, the end of a breakdown, or a DJ-style reset in an intro or outro. If you throw it in randomly, it'll sound like an effect. If you place it with intent, it sounds like part of the record's language. So in arrangement view, find the exact moment where the rewind earns its place. Put a locator there. At 174 BPM, the actual rewind can be very short, even just a bar or half a bar. The tension should build before it, not during it. Next, build your source group. Create a group track and name it something like Rewind SRC. Inside that, you want three main ingredients: your Amen break or break chop, a bass stab or reset, and a short FX layer like noise, crackle, or a reverse cymbal. The important thing here is not to overload the stack. You want the break carrying the transient identity, the bass carrying the weight and attitude, and the FX giving a little atmosphere. That's enough. The rewind itself will do the heavy lifting. If your break is already chopped, duplicate the last couple bars and simplify the pattern so the important hits read clearly. Kick, snare, ghost snare, hat chatter. Old-school jungle rewind moments tend to work best when the listener can still hear the break language, even when it's getting pulled backwards. Now let's set up the transition chain. On the group or on a return track called RWND, and an audio effect rack or just a neat stock chain using utility, auto filter, reverb, echo, saturator, and limiter. This is your rewind return. The idea is to capture the source, smear it, and re-emit it in a controlled way. Start with utility. Pull the gain down a bit for headroom, maybe -6 to -12 dB, depending on how hot your source is. For the rewind moment itself, collapsing width toward mono can be really effective. A centered rewind often hits harder than a wide one, especially in jungle and darker DNB. Then auto filter. Low pass mode is your friend here. Set the cutoff somewhere between 300 Hz and a couple of KHE, depending on how muffled or vocal you want the rewind to feel. Add a bit of resonance if you want more character. The classic move is to automate the cutoff downward while the moment approaches, so it feels like that audio is being pulled into a tunnel. After that, reverb. Keep it tasteful. You want space, not wash. A decay somewhere around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds is a good starting point, with wet mix around 25 to 50% depending on the context. If the track is already busy, stay lower. If you want a more psychedelic jungle smear, you can let it breathe a little more. But remember, shorter is usually harder. Echo comes next. Sync it to 1/8 or 1/16. Keep feedback moderate, and filter out the low end. You're not trying to create a huge delay cloud. You're trying to make the rewind feel like it has memory and motion. That subtle repeat can make the transition feel spooled, like tape or a live reload. Then saturator. Add a little drive, maybe 2 to 8 dB, and use soft clip if needed. This gives the rewind tail some grit, which is especially useful if you want that grimier old-school edge. Just don't let it distort the sublane. Keep it tight. Finally, limiter. Always smart at the end of the chain, just to catch spikes. Now map the important stuff to macros. One macro for the filter sweep, one for reverb size, one for echo feedback, one for saturation, one for wet/dry blend, and one for stereo width or mono focus. That gives you performance control, which is huge, because the rewind should feel like a gesture, not just a static plugin preset. Here's the advanced move. Resample the gesture. Don't just rely on the real-time effect chain. Create a new audio track called RWND Resample. Set its input from your rewind source or return chain, arm it, and record the last half bar or full bar before the rewind point while you automate the chain. Filter down, reverb up, echo feedback up, width narrowing, saturation rising slightly. Record that movement. Then reverse the recorded clip in arrangement view. Now you've got a rewind tail that comes from your actual brake and bass material. That's the difference between a generic reverse sweep and a believable old-school reload. It feels like the track itself is being turned back. You can stop there, but let's add a surgical layer with Simpler. Create a MIDI track, drop Simpler on it, and load a single amen snare, a crash, or a bass stab. Set it to classic or one-shot depending on the sample. Tune it if needed, and isolate the best part of the sound with the start position. If there are clicks, adjust the fade. Then reverse the sample inside Simpler so it becomes a pre-rewind lead-in. A really effective combination is a reversed amen snare, a reversed crash or noise hit, and a short reversed bass bark. Keep it subtle. This layer isn't supposed to replace the main rewind. It's there to sharpen the identity and to add that physical pullback feeling. If you want extra movement, automate a tiny pan shift on one of the pre-hit elements, like drifting from left toward center. That sort of micro-motion makes the transition feel more like something happening in space, not just a clip change. Now let's make sure the reload lands properly. A rewind is only as good as the return after it. On the drum bus, use drum bus gently, maybe with a little drive and a touch of crunch if needed. Glue compressor can help, but don't crush it. A couple dB of gain reduction at most. Use a QA to clean up any mud around 200 to 400 Hz if the break is getting cloudy. And if the drums need more snap, use clip gain or transient shaping rather than just over-compressing everything. Right before the rewind, reduce density for a beat or half a beat. Let the groove breathe. Then when the reload comes back, bring the core drum language back with authority. Kick, snare, bass. Maybe an extra ghost snare or hat pickup right after the re-entry to keep the momentum moving. A great arrangement trick is this. In an 8-bar drop, put the rewind at bar 7 beat 4. Let the phrase collapse into the reverse tail, then slam bar 8 with the full drum pattern and a new bass variation. That gives you both nostalgia and progression, which is exactly what makes this move so satisfying. Now the bass. This is important. The bass should not just pop back in randomly. It should re-enter with intent. Automate the filter opening, bring distortion up slightly at the re-entry if that suits your sound, and make sure the low-end attack is defined. If you're using Wave-Eatable or Operator, you can start the bass in a more filtered or simplified state during the rewind, and then open it up on the first beat after the reload. If you're using a sampled bass in Simpler, automate the filter and volume instead of swapping samples. The point is to make the bass return feel like a release, not a glitch. For rollers, shorter bass phrases often hit harder. A 1/8 or 1/4 stab after the rewind can feel very authentic. For darker, neural-leaning sections, you can make the return more mechanical and aggressive, with sharper mid-range movement. Let's talk style, because this is where people often go too far. Old-school rewind moments usually work best when they're a little dry, a little clipped, and very direct. You do not need a huge cinematic reverb cloud. You want DJ reload energy. You want that hold up, run that back feeling. A tiny silence before the rewind, a little crackle, maybe a snare flam, maybe a reverse crash, and then the reload. That's enough if the phrase logic is right. Also, keep it short. Usually a 1/4 bar to 1 bar is enough. If you let it drag on, the groove loses urgency. This is one of those places where restraint actually makes the moment hit harder. Shorter is usually harder. Now for the detail work. Zoom in around the transition and clean up the edges. Make sure there are no clicks at the cut points. Make sure the reverse tail lands rhythmically with the grid and with the swing of the break. Adjust by ear, not just by looking. Old-school energy lives in micro-timing. Sometimes something is mathematically right and still feels wrong against the drums. Trust your ears. Use fades if you need to. Shorten tails with clip gain if they're too dominant. Nudge the reload a few milliseconds if the snare feels late against the bass. Once it all feels right, consolidate the final rewind audio so it's tidy and ready to reuse. A few advanced variations are worth mentioning too. You can do a two-stage rewind, where the first part is a filtered reverse tail and the second part is a tiny stutter or cut right before the drop returns. That gives it a more hands-on, DJ-style feel. You can also do a bass-first reload, where the bass stab hits slightly before the main break comes back. That feels aggressive and modern. Or try a fake-out. Rewind as if the drop is returning, cut it again for half a beat, then bring it back for real. That one can be nasty in a live-style edit. Another great idea is the callback rewind. Instead of reversing the current phrase, borrow a sound from earlier in the tune, maybe an intro texture or an earlier bass motif. That makes the transition feel like a memory returning rather than just an effect. If you want a heavier, darker version, keep the low end out of the rewind tail completely. Use filtered distortion on the mid-range only layer and keep the sub clean and mono. You can even add a little EQ boost around 1.5 to 3kHz so the reverse texture cuts through on small speakers. And if you really want to lean into that broken cassette vibe, add a tiny pitch dip or flutter on the final reverse hit. The big takeaway here is this: the rewind is not the payoff, the reload is the payoff. The rewind just creates the vacuum. The reload is where the crowd, or the listener, gets hit again. So as a quick practice challenge, build three versions in the same 174 BPM project. One old school jungle reload using MN fragments and snare impact. One darker roller reload with less obvious reversing and a clean bass return. One euro leaning reload with sharper automation and more mechanical textures. Keep each one under a bar. Make sure each version comes back stronger than it left. Then bounce them and check how they feel on headphones, small speakers, and in mono. The one that still works when the low end is reduced is usually the most durable design.